Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Whole Brain Child by psychiatrist Daniel J. Siegel and educator Tina Payne Bryson, translates core ideas from interpersonal neurobiology into practical parenting guidance for everyday life. Rather than treating behavior as something to simply correct, the book frames tantrums, anxiety, defiance, and withdrawal as signals from a developing brain that is still learning how to regulate emotions, pay attention, and relate to others. Using a clear, accessible style, it introduces a set of strategies designed to help caregivers integrate different brain functions so children can move from reactivity to resilience. The authors emphasize connection before correction, showing how attuned relationships shape neural pathways over time. Readers can expect concrete tools for helping children name feelings, make sense of difficult experiences, and practice flexible thinking, along with age-appropriate ways to talk about the brain. The overall aim is to build emotional intelligence and stronger family relationships while supporting healthy development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, integration as the foundation of healthy development. A central theme is that well-being depends on integration, the ability of different parts of the brain to work together in a coordinated way. The authors popularize the idea of upstairs and downstairs brain to describe the relationship between higher-level capacities like planning, empathy, and impulse control, and more reactive systems tied to survival responses. When children are flooded with emotion, the downstairs brain can dominate, making logical reasoning difficult. Instead of viewing this as misbehavior alone, the book encourages adults to see it as a moment when integration is temporarily offline. Parenting then becomes the practice of restoring integration through calm presence, predictable limits, and repeated opportunities to learn regulation. This lens helps adults respond with curiosity rather than escalation, because the goal shifts from winning a power struggle to strengthening the child's capacity to manage states. Over time, children learn to notice internal signals, pause before acting, and recover faster from stress. The topic also underscores that development is not linear, and setbacks are expected, especially when kids are tired, hungry, overstimulated, or facing change. Secondly, connect and redirect. During emotional storms, one of the most practical contributions is the emphasis on connection before correction. When a child is dysregulated, attempts to lecture, negotiate, or punish often fail because the child cannot access higher reasoning. The book proposes that caregivers first connect emotionally, communicating safety and understanding, and then redirect behavior once the child is calmer. Connection can include getting on the child's level, using a softer tone, acknowledging feelings, and offering simple choices that restore a sense of control. This approach does not mean permissiveness. Boundaries remain important, but timing matters. By reducing threat and increasing felt security, the adult helps the child shift out of a fight-flight-freeze response. Only after that shift can problem-solving happen, such as repairing harm, practicing a better alternative, or planning for the next situation. Repeated experiences of being soothed and guided strengthen self-soothing over time. The framework also supports parents, since it provides a step-by-step way to respond in moments that typically trigger adult frustration. The result is fewer escalating cycles and more teachable moments. Thirdly, name it to tame it and build emotional literacy. The book highlights the power of helping children put feelings into words. Naming emotions is presented as a tool for calming intense reactions and making internal experiences more manageable. When children can identify anger, fear, embarrassment, disappointment, or jealousy, they are better able to seek appropriate help and choose a response instead of acting impulsively. The authors recommend guiding children to tell their story about what happened, especially after upsetting events. This process organizes experience, supports meaning-making, and can reduce ongoing distress. Caregivers can model emotional vocabulary, normalize feelings, and separate feelings from actions, reinforcing that all feelings are acceptable while not all behaviors are. The approach also helps children develop empathy by noticing emotional cues in others. Over time, emotional literacy strengthens communication within the family and reduces shame, because emotions become discussable rather than dangerous. The strategy is especially helpful for children who move quickly into outbursts or shutdown, since it offers a bridge from bodily sensations to reflective awareness. The long-term benefit is improved resilience and a stronger sense of self-understanding. Fourthly, engaging the upstairs brain through choices and problem-solving. Another focus is actively exercising the capacities associated with the upstairs brain, such as decision-making, self-control, perspective-taking, and flexible thinking. The book encourages caregivers to create everyday opportunities for children to practice these skills, particularly when the child is calm. Simple tools like offering limited choices, brainstorming solutions together, and inviting children to consider consequences can strengthen executive functioning over time. The goal is not to make children responsible for adult decisions, but to help them feel agency and competence within appropriate boundaries. When kids participate in problem solving, they are more likely to cooperate because they experience the process as collaborative rather than controlling. The authors also stress the importance of consistent limits that are explained in developmentally appropriate ways. This balances nurture with structure, reinforcing that the child is safe and guided while still respected. As children mature, these practices support better judgment in peer situations, school challenges, and technology use, because kids learn to pause, evaluate options, and recover from mistakes. Practicing upstairs brain skills early can translate into better long-term self-regulation. Lastly, integrating memory, experience, and relationships over time. Beyond managing day-to-day behavior, the book addresses how children process experiences and build a coherent sense of self. It discusses the importance of integrating memories, including difficult or confusing events, so they do not remain fragmented and repeatedly trigger big reactions. Caregivers can help by revisiting incidents with warmth, encouraging children to describe what they noticed, felt, and believed, and then offering perspective and reassurance. This supports the development of narrative understanding, which is linked to emotional health and secure attachment. The authors also emphasize relational integration, helping children balance independence with connection. Kids learn that they can explore and take risks while still relying on supportive adults. Family routines, repair after conflict, and moments of playful engagement all contribute to this secure base. The topic reinforces that parenting is less about perfect responses and more about repeated patterns of attunement and repair. When caregivers acknowledge their own mistakes and reconnect, children learn that relationships can handle conflict and that emotions do not threaten belonging. These experiences shape long-term resilience and relational skill. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents, caregivers, teachers, and therapists who want research-informed guidance that still feels usable in real life, especially with toddlers through early teens. Readers who are tired of advice that relies mainly on punishment, rewards, or vague encouragement will appreciate how the strategies translate brain-based ideas into specific responses for common challenges like meltdowns, aggression, worries, and stubbornness. The benefit to a reader's life is both immediate and long-term. Immediate, because the connect and redirect approach can reduce daily conflict and help adults stay calmer. And long-term, because the methods build emotional intelligence, communication skills, and resilience in children. It also supports the adult's mindset by reframing hard moments as opportunities to teach regulation, rather than as proof of failure. Compared with similar parenting books, it stands out for its integration of attachment-focused relational tools with accessible neuroscience concepts, offering a coherent framework rather than a list of disconnected tips. If you want a parenting guide that values empathy and boundaries together and gives you language for what is happening inside a child, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Daniel J. Siegel, MD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.